It's, as I mentioned, interesting, the song they picked about I Am So Glad. Study tonight. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15. And verse 16. So Jeremiah 15, 16. Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So there's the joy and rejoicing. That's what I want to talk about tonight. And I can say to this verse, amen. Because the word of the Lord is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It truly is. And I'm so thankful for the word of God and how it's gotten a hold of my life. And especially coming from an organized religion that I didn't even own a Bible. And knew very little of the word of God, and mostly from the Gospels. But thank the Lord. He got a hold of my heart. And the word has been such a joy to me and it's my rejoicing. But think of who's saying this. This is Jeremiah. He says this. And if you know anything about Jeremiah, he didn't have a whole lot to rejoice and be joyful about. He's actually called the weeping prophet. And just a few verses in that Jeremiah wrote here. He says, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." In another place he says, "Mine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive." In another place he says, "Let mine eyes run down with tears night and day and let them not cease." He was a man that had a lot of tears flowing. And he even came to the point where he said, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born." He was really burdened, and all that was going on around him, he just wished he'd never been born. It hit him so hard. And what is happening is that the time that Jeremiah was prophesying here, the nation of Israel, which had been so blessed by God, they were God's chosen people, and he had blessed them and provided for them and given them so much, they had turned away from God. They'd fallen into iniquity and idolatry and apostasy. The Lord had sent prophets to them to get them to turn from their wicked ways and to turn back to the Lord. And he says, "Turn back to me and I'll heal you. I'll raise you up again." But they refused. They wouldn't listen to the prophets. They refused. The things they did to Jeremiah were really terrible. If you read about it, the way they treated him, they wanted to kill him. But the Babylonians finally did invade Israel and took away the people captive. And Jeremiah witnessed the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple. All that was destroyed. And then he also wrote the book of Lamentations. And if you know what lament is the opposite of rejoice. So he had a lot that was heavy on his heart. But he had this joy that could not be taken away. And it was the word of God. The word of God was there, his rejoicing. And it made me think of how Jesus was telling his disciples when he was about to go back to be with the Father, and he comforted them. He said, "You shall weep and lament and be sorrowful, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." So we can have a joy that no man can take from us, and no circumstance can take from us. And even though today is not nearly as bad as it was for Jeremiah in his day, it's still a tough time we live in. You know, naturally, a lot of people are living a prosperous time here, but if you look at it spiritually, the world's getting worse and worse. There's every man does what's right in his own eyes, and the love of many is waxing cold. Iniquity abounds. You know, these things, it's getting worse and worse. There's a falling away, and you see it. There's a lot of churches are closing, and a lot of churches that used to preach the whole counsel of God, like this one, aren't even there anymore. So there's a big falling away. And if you look at all that, you can get kind of depressed if you look at it not knowing what's going on. But when you know the word of God and that all these things are prophesied, that in the last days these things are going to come to pass because Jesus is coming soon. And then we can rejoice. We can still have that joy and rejoicing, even though these things are going on around us. We know the Lord's coming soon, and we have that expectation, that hope, and that joy that can't be taken away from us. Habakkuk wrote a similar statement here. If you want to turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. And Habakkuk 3, verse 17 through 19. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So here's Habakkuk, and he says, you know, all these things naturally can be gone. And sometimes they are gone, the things that that are good things to us, our sustenance can be gone. But he said, yet I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to joy. He's the God of my salvation. And he's my strength. He'll make my feet like hinds' feet. I'm not going to be walking around like a mope and with my nose in the ground and saying, you know, woe is me. I'm skipping, dancing. Jesus is coming soon. And people see that, and they say, what's with that guy? And, well, there's a joy that I have that you can have too.
That's right.
It's knowing Jesus and knowing that he's for you. So, you know, you think about the things that bring joy to your life. And lately, it's been my grandchildren. And we just got back from a trip to California where I got to see three of my grandchildren that live out there. And they wore us out, I'll tell you. They're such a ball of energy, but it's wonderful to spend time with them. But only, you know, I see them in pictures throughout the year and FaceTime, but only get to see them in person maybe twice a year. But I have a granddaughter here in town now that I get to see several times a week. And what a joy. It seems like every day something new is going on. They're doing something different. And, you know, you get joy from your grandkids, but when you get to spend more time with them, you get that much more joy from them. And it's like the Word of God. Like Jeremiah said, the Word was his joy and rejoicing. The more you spend in the Word of God, the more joy you can get from it. If you just are going to spend a little time here and there, a few minutes, you'll get some joy out of it. But, you know, if you can take the time to study it and get into it, you know, every day, and when you have time, really get into it for a long time and study it out, it'll bring a rejoicing to you. And it does. We all have things going on in our lives that can bring us down, or we get where we need some encouragement. The Word of God's right there. And the Lord will lead you to something that will just bring you right up like Habakkuk, and you'll be skipping, you know. So take in the Word of God as often as you can. So the Bible says that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. And we can get joy from a lot of things. You can get joy from a nice home, or your job might be something that you enjoy doing. You might have you might be healthy and feel good about that. And I think the most time you feel happy about your health is when you've been sick. When you get back from being sick and you're getting healthy again, that's when you really enjoy being healthy. But many things that you can have joy in, but they don't always last forever. And even children and grandchildren can change. Sometimes they bring you the greatest joy. And in 3 John chapter 4, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I can say amen to that. And it's so true. Our children, when they have something good happen in their lives, we rejoice and are glad for them. But when they're walking in the truth, that's what really brings joy to my heart, and I'm sure to you too, because that's what is the most important thing. The things in this life aren't going to last, but the things in the truth and the Word of God, the things done for Christ will last forever. That's our joy. So children can be a great joy, but they can also be a heartache. Solomon wrote in the Proverbs that A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. He also said, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear her. And we all make foolish decisions. We have made and we do. And our children, we're grieved or sad when they make a foolish decision, especially when they make one that takes them away from the things of God. And I thought about a couple examples. Like if you had a child that was well-educated and had gotten a fantastic job, got married, had a great family, beautiful family, and a nice home, seemed real successful, but they were Buddhist and didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And on the other hand, you might have someone that's incarcerated, and they don't have much to their name, but they love the Lord, and they have a Bible, and they read it every day and study it, and they testify to others. They pray with others and testify to them how to be saved and get people get saved. Which would you rather have? I'd rather have the one that loves the Lord. And no matter the external circumstances, it's the heart. God looks on the heart. And when this life's over, those other things aren't going to matter. They won't matter for a moment. They're going to be gone. But what's in your heart, that's what's going to matter. And so I can rejoice. I can rejoice in that. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, things change in this life, the things that we get joy from. But the word of the Lord never changes. Psalm 89:34 says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. And Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So the word of God isn't going to change. It's going to be there for us. It's the thing that we can stand on. It's the rock. We sang about that sure foundation. And that's that rock we stand on. It's not going to change. And if you put your joy, get your joy from that, you can have a joy all the time. If you all your joy is wrapped up in things that are temporal, they can come and go. So praise the Lord. So Jeremiah said that thy words were found. And it made me think of a couple things. One of them was in 2 Chronicles 34 when they were repairing the house of the Lord and they found the book of the Lord. And the priest brought it to King Josiah and read it to him. And he heard the words and he humbled himself and he wept because the words that he read, he found out that the people had turned from doing the things that the Lord had commanded. And they hadn't kept the ways of the Lord. And so he was sad, he wept for him, but he took that word and he brought it before the people, all the people, and he read the word of the Lord to the people. And the people heard it and took it in, and they followed the Lord all the days of Josiah. So it was at first a sad thing that he found out they weren't doing it, but he still treasured it, and the people were willing to listen to it and follow them, the Lord, all the days of Josiah. So it turned out to be a blessing to him. Let's turn over to Proverbs 8. You're talking about the words being found. If you know Proverbs 8, it's wisdom personified. And it's talking about the pre-incarnate Christ. And in Proverbs 8, verses 34 and 35. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So, whoso findeth me? Now, the Bible says that no man seeks after God, but that doesn't mean you can't find him. I once was walking through a parking lot, and I wasn't looking for anything particular, and a $20 bill came blowing by in a breeze, and I found it. It was mine. So I wasn't looking for it, but I found it. So, no man looks for the Lord. You know, you've heard people say that. You know, I've looked for the Lord for years and finally found him. No. He was chasing you, and you finally settled down enough for him to get your attention. So, but the Lord wants us to find him. He's there for us. And whoso findeth me findeth life. And John calls Jesus the word of life. So, find in the word, find in life. Now, today, the day we live in, there's a famine for the word of God. If you want to turn over to Amos chapter 8, read those verses. Amos 8, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And that's the day we live in. And it, notice it says, a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. There's Bibles all over the place. The word of God is published, but people aren't hearing it. They're not hearing the depths of it. They're just hearing little bits of it here and there, and then they're hearing a lot of what man has to think and say about it. But the word of the Lord, and people run to and fro seeking it, and they're not finding it. Now, if you really have a heart to want the things of God, the Lord sees your heart, and they that will to know shall know. And he'll lead you to a place. He drew me here from 1,000 miles away from Chicago, and I didn't even know what I was looking for. But the Lord knew my heart. He knew that when I heard this message, I would fall in love with it, and he drew me here. So the Lord's faithful. He knows, and there's no limit to him bringing the word of God to us. Let's turn over to Psalm 119. Couple verses in this about the word of God being found. Psalm 119, verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And I mentioned about finding a $20 bill, but if you found a great spoil, like if you were diving in the ocean and came across a treasure chest or something and found some great spoil, you'd really rejoice. Well, we have this word that really, if you can look at it with the eyes of eternity, spiritual eyes of understanding, this is a treasure. This is a treasure that we can rejoice to hear. And I know you feel that way because you're here on Wednesday night for a Bible study. We love the word of God, and it's we rejoice at hearing it, taking it in. And then back at verse 111, the psalmist says, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. And that word heritage is translated possession. I've taken your word as a possession. I've taken it to my heart. I want your word etched in my heart and to be a part of me forever. And that's going to rejoice my heart. Hallelujah. And just one more verse about something being found is that pearl of great price. If you want to look at Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. Now, this isn't us finding it. This is Jesus finding us. But Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And what a love our Savior has for us. He's looking for that one pearl of great price. And he gave up everything he had for us. He gave it all up. He sold all he had and purchased us. And, for us to neglect this treasure here would be a sad thing. Because he gave his life for us to have it and has kept it through these ages. That it's here for us. What a wonderful thing to have the Word of God all together, the Old and New Testament, like it is preserved for us, and that we can stand on it. We can take encouragement from it. Praise the Lord. So going back to our opening verse there, Jeremiah says he found the words, and he says, I did eat them. It wasn't just a taste. Now, Paul wrote in Hebrews 6 about those that tasted the good Word of God, but they weren't even saved. And I thought of a good example of that is my wife and I like to watch these food shows where the contestants will prepare a meal and bring it before the judges. And sometimes the judges will taste it and they're like, wow, this is like professional cooking out of a restaurant. And they just eat the whole thing and they love it. And other times they'll take it and a taste of it and they'll spit it out. I've seen them spit it out. That's the worst soup I ever had. Or whatever it is. They say, I'm not eating that. So it's hilarious, but I mean, it's sad when you think of it about people doing this, though. Jeremiah ate the word. He didn't taste it. He didn't just get a taste and say, that's good enough for me, or you know, I'll think about it. He took it in. He ate it. And we are encouraged. David wrote in the Psalms to taste and see that the Lord is good. So you got to start with the taste, you know. But once you get a taste of the Lord, you see how good he is. And you want more. And if you really want to get to know him, then you've really got to eat. You got to eat and drink. And Jesus is the bread of life. Let's read about that in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting in verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And, you know, really, on the outside looking into this verse, you would say that. You'd be like, what's this guy talking about, giving us his flesh to eat and blood to drink? But it's because it's Jesus is talking about spiritual here. As we read on, you'll see this. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So it's the word of God. That's what we need to eat and take in, the word of God. It's Jesus' body and blood, and he symbolized that at the Last Supper, and we take that in remembrance of him. But he gave his life for us, and he wants us to take in his life that we might grow. And we need that sustenance. We need that to survive. Just as you need food naturally, you need the spiritual food. But there's the milk of the word, and then there's the strong meat of the word. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. In verse 12 through 14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So again, you can just be like a babe drinking milk, and that's all the maturity you're going to have. But when you want to mature and grow up, you need the strong meat of the word. And it's sadly not preached a lot of places. The people give a watered-down version of the Bible, and they use these new translations that sound so foofy. And I love the King James. And it just tells it like it is. And when you search out the original words, you know what I'm talking about. But you want to have the meat of the word, not just the milk. And our meals that we take naturally are made up of many things. You know, we have certain beverages we drink, and we'll have a meat or vegetables or fruit, dessert. Scott likes dessert. I had to throw that in there, brother. And I like to eat, too, you know. Brother Kevin gets up here, and he tells people he likes to eat, and then he says, you can tell I like to eat. He's a big guy, you know. Well, we maybe can't tell I like to eat, but I like to eat. And anybody that's had dinner with me knows that. And I'm blessed because I have a wife that likes to try new meals. She'll look up a recipe, try something new. And over the years, she's made many meals that have become my favorites, you know, and I ask her to make them again. Favorite meals. But you know what I've come to realize? It's not the meals that I love the most, it's the cook. Amen. So taking in the Word of God is like that. The Word of God is like eating a meal. In the Bible, you have history, you've got prophecy, there's the poetry, the epistles, and here a little, there a little, you know, and it's all profitable. But you put it together, it makes a good meal. And we can have favorites too, you know. There's certain parts of the Bible, certain stories, you might be your favorite. But, you know, in this age that we live in, the epistles of Paul should be our favorites. Yes. Because that's the time we live in. That's what is in tune and in time right now for getting us ready for the Lord's soon return. So that should be our favorites right now, Paul's epistles. And, you know, I love the Word of God, but mostly I love Jesus. But you know what? They're the same. Jesus is the Word of God. So how precious is that? How wonderful. Now, Job treasured the Word of God more than his food that he needed to survive. He said in Job 23:12, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And that's saying a lot. When you would say that the Lord's word means more to you than the meal you need to survive. And he meant it. And I think that's true. How precious. And so the word of the Lord was the rejoicing of Jeremiah's heart, to his heart. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. In verse 19 through 21. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And again, this was in that song, the first song that they sang tonight about the firm foundation. And people, some put their hopes in their lands or their treasures, and it's just sinking sand. But Jesus said, don't lay up treasure here on earth. Lay it up in heaven. And what that means is to take in the Word of God. Because the things that we see on earth here, everything you see is temporal, and it's going to be gone. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And the Word of God is what's eternal. You take that in, and it's going to be yours forever. So that's where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. So the things that you bring you joy, that's what your heart goes after. The things that bring you joy, the Word of God, hopefully. And let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul's joy was to see all saints fall in love with a high calling message. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. He says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord? Our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." And I thought this is so wonderful. You know, the joy to a pastor would be to see his flock, you know, there at the Lord's, at the first trumpet sound. But it's not just someone standing up here at the pulpit bringing a message that's going to feel that way. You know, we all have a part in the ministry. Every joint supplies to the edifying of the body. And it could be through singing a song, and many times we're so blessed by that. You pray for one another is so precious. Sending someone a card or a text or giving them a phone call. How many times we can think of our own lives where someone did that and it was such an encouragement to us? We might have been down or something or confused in a certain way, and they said, "You know, this has been on my heart and I feel like sharing this verse with you," or sending you a card and encouraging you. It's like, that's just what I needed right now. It's just what, and it's because the Lord spoke to their hearts and encouraged them to send something to you, and they did it. And that's how we all minister to one another. It's not just being up here doing a Bible study. It's every little thing, every little part. It brings the whole body together. And aren't you glad it's that, you know, you can't look at someone else and think that, wow, they're really going to get a greater reward for me because of all they've done. No, if you're doing what the Lord is, his will for your life, that's the greatest thing you can do. And you'll be rewarded for that. So thank the Lord. Just be content where he has you. And rejoice that when the Lord returns and we see one another in his presence at that first trumpet sound, we're going to have that joy and rejoicing at his coming. Hallelujah. Looking forward to that. So I'm going to close out here. The word was to Jeremiah joy and rejoicing. At the marriage of the word, we will be glad and rejoicing. Let's turn over to Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. So at that marriage feast, there's going to be some joy and rejoicing, isn't there? Some gladness. And just like that song we sang tonight, I'm so glad. And Jeremiah closed out his verse here. He said, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And when a woman marries a man, she's called by his name, isn't she? So I think that's how the Lord would have it, to think of it that way. Lord, your word's wonderful to me. I love it. I want more of it. And I want to be called by your name. Hallelujah. Well, I hope it's been an encouragement to you. I sure love the word of God and know you do too. So let's stand and be dismissed.